We're going to have our English portion right now, our English message. I'd like to greet all those that maybe are visiting us today. Later on when we have the Russian message, there'll be a translation in the back room also, so feel free to move back there at the end of the service when we have the Russian service. I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 6. Paul writes here, beginning with verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and in the admonition of the Lord." Christianity is a way of life. Beginning with Ephesians chapter 4, Paul calls it a walk. Our life is equivalent to our life or our walk in the world. It is a calling that God has called us with. And of course, everything that God does, Satan has a counterfeit that he offers us, trying to entice us to follow him, his ways. And of course, as much as God desires for us to live according to his word and his ways and his calling, Satan would like us to follow him. In the Old Testament, Israel was the chosen people of God. They were chosen, they were called by God, and they were instructed by God to be a light to the world, to be a testimony, to be an example to the nations that lived around them. In the very same way, we today, as a church in Hollywood, we are called to be the light, to be a testimony, to be to the people that live in the community that surrounds us. And in chapter 5, we spent many, many months on the basic subject of submission to one another. That is a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We find that the primary characteristic of a person, of a believer that is filled with the Holy Spirit of God, is that because of our love and our fear for the Lord, we submit to each other very much like the church submits to the spiritual leadership of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, beginning in chapter 6, Paul moves on to another dimension of submission. In chapter 5, we found that in a marriage relationship that is compared to the relationship of the church to Jesus Christ, we find in society also, and in marriage, and in the church, that God has set up a structure of authority, and each one of us, in one or two or in three of these different structures of authority, has a place and has an obligation and a responsibility to submit to the leadership that is over us, regardless of whether it's in the church, whether it's in a family, or whether it's in society, or possibly maybe part of society is where you work. Here, beginning in chapter 6, verse 1, Paul, in speaking about the marriage, in speaking about a family, moves on into the dimension of children, which is, in the plan of God, part of what a marriage should be. There are some families that do not have children, but the norm in Scripture has always been that part of the family would be children, godly children on top of all that. And the responsibility of parents to teach their children the structure of authority in a house, in a home, so that when they are adults and they grow up and when they enter society, they would be productive and godly and God-fearing and law-abiding, obedient citizens in the society we work and live in. When Paul writes, the assumption, Paul takes it for granted that he's writing to Christian families. When we were talking about a wife that in the fear of the Lord is submissive to the leadership, the spiritual leadership of her husband, Paul is making the assumption that this is a Christian couple. He's writing to believers in a church. He's writing to Christians. So the assumption here, when Paul writes to children, he's writing to children that are growing up and living in a Christian family. These are universal principles that Paul gives us. And although he's specifically writing to the church and to Christian families, to Christian husbands and wives and children in that family, these very same principles can apply in society. And God promises that any couple, regardless of whether they're believers or unbelievers, if they live according to the standards of the Bible, God promises that their marriage will be a cut above and a step higher than the people that reject these principles. Spiritually speaking, of course, this refers to Christians. And Paul now speaks about the structure of authority between parents and children, and the relationship between children and parents. I'd like you to notice that there is a word here that is different than when we spoke in verse 22 about wives. In verse 22, Paul, addressing Christian wives, says, "Wives, because you're Christians, because you love the Lord, because you want to honor the Lord, submit to the spiritual leadership of your husband." In other words, if your husband is leading, you are to follow the spiritual leadership that your husband provides. The reason for this is both men and women, in the eyes of God and in marriage, are equal. We're different in our roles and in our functions and in the responsibilities we have in a marriage. When it comes to who cooks better, or who can shop better, or who can handle the finances better, we're both equal. Whoever has the better physical natural ability can lead in that direction. But when it comes to spiritual leadership and to worship, the husband is to be the spiritual leader in the family, leading the wife and the children, if there are children in the family, in a godly lifestyle based on the principles we find in Scripture. When we come to children, however, in verse 1 of chapter 6, the word here in the Greek is the word to obey. And there's a similarity and a difference between obeying and submitting. The word obey is used for children because children are not equal to their parents in wisdom and stature and in age and in capabilities. The one and only goal for children in a Christian family, according to Paul, according to all of Scripture, when we read Scripture, is for children, as they're growing up, to learn to obey, to learn to do what the parents, as their God-given authority, teach them to do. When we speak about the wife being submissive to her husband, we're not talking about the husband being a despot or a tyrannical dictator that commands and demands from his wife that she serve him as a slave or a servant would. They're equals. When God created Eve, he created her from close to the heart of Adam. She was a helper to him. When God gives the family children, the children, when they're born, they're little brains need to be taught. They need to be taught that there is a structure of authority in society. And it begins by learning to respect that authority in the home. And children, if you're still living at home with your parents right now today, your number one command from the Lord is that you obey your parents. Especially in the Lord, especially if you proclaim, if your testimony is that you are Christians. Now, last time we studied and we saw that when a man grows up and when a woman grows up and when they leave the structure of authority of their family, of their parents, and they get married, then there's a new family unit and a new structure of authority where the husband leads and the wife follows. And in that case, verse 2 applies. You honor your parents. You respect your parents for who they are because God gave you to your parents and gave your parents to you, to teach you these things. But honoring your parents as adults is a different relationship than when you are a child and when you are taught to respect and obey your parents. As children grow older in our society, they are exposed to new and different ideals and standards of authority. When they begin school, they will be taught a new level of authority. Their friends will become new influences of authority for them. The government becomes new influence of authority to them. Employers sometimes demand that you have a level of submission to them. And in order to function in society, whether it's at your work, in school, in government, wherever you may be, you need to understand your position in that structure. And children are best taught these principles when they're little, when they're first born. Psychiatrists tell us that by age 3, a child is usually set. His character is usually formed. And it's very difficult after the age of 4 or 5 to change the character of a child. And if you have taught him the spiritual principles of obeying you in the Lord and living for the Lord and loving God's people and loving God's word and loving God's house and the church and the Bible, then these outside influences will have a harder time getting to the mind of your child, although they will still be powerful influences. Because we need to remember, and we'll get to this later on in chapter 6, we are in a battle. We are in a battle, not with people, not with bodies, but with Satan himself that would like to destroy. And he's after the family. It is sad that over 50% of marriages end up in divorce. And sadly, many people remarry after divorce. And 75%, according to statistics, of remarriages end up in divorce. And yet we have principles in Scripture that teach us God's way, God's family, God's way of submission that we learn in the family and we also learn and are emphasized in the church. Not in society, but in the church. Now, above all, we need to remember, and we'll pick up with this next time, but when we obey our parents, that is the command for children. There's only one main reason. We'll cover 4 reasons why children are to obey, but today we'll cover 1. The one reason, the main reason why you are to obey is because Scripture tells us it is the right thing to do. Now many say that, well, my parents are not in the Lord. They're not Christians, so I don't need to obey my parents. That's not what Scripture tells us. The only time you may disobey your parents is if they specific ask you or tell you to do something that the Lord in Scripture prohibits. And I'm not talking about hairstyles or clothes styles or the kind of food you want to eat or not eat. I'm talking about things like in Daniel's case and Daniel's friends, his parents, their parents, they taught them God's way. And then when they ended up in Babylon, and the king offered them all of these things that were prohibited by the Lord. They were God's children. They were chosen by God. They said, we cannot do this because God prohibits. But in all other ways, they submitted themselves to the laws of the country. They were prisoners of war. They were told the school and the college where they were to go to. They were to learn the things of Babylon. They did all that submissively, willingly. Because that was not a prohibition of Scripture. But when it came to things that Scripture prohibited, when they were told to pray, when Daniel was told to pray to idols and to other gods or to the king himself rather than to God, Daniel drew the line and says, I'm willing to pay the consequence. His friends, they said, we will not bow down and worship the golden idol. We will pay the consequence. We will go through the fire. Maybe we will die and we will go into the presence and the glory of the Lord. But up until that point, when you are commanded and told by your parents or by your other levels of authority, whether in society or at work or in the government, up until they tell you and enforce and command and dictate that you break the law of God, that's the only time you may break that law. But in all other respects, you are to obey your parents because this is right. What does right mean? Right is what God says. You know, as parents, sometimes we tell our children, when our children ask us, why do I have to do this? My grandchildren are always asking me, Grandpa, why? Sometimes it's just because Grandpa said so. In Scripture, for parents, it's because God says so. Now, God is right. Everything about God is right. Right comes from the word righteous and holy, separate from humanity, separate from sin. Children are to obey because God said to obey. And we don't question God. Now, there are parameters for parents, and we will get to that in verse 4. But before we get to verse 4 about the parents' responsibility, we will spend 3 verses seeing what Scripture has to say about children obeying their parents. The word right means correct. The word right means just. That's the word that the Russian translation uses, справедливо. It is, in a legal sense, what is correct in society. Although society is ungodly, although society wants to destroy the family, although society wants to make children independent, and they teach children to be independent from their parents and not to obey their parents. And yet society needs children to grow up to function properly in a structure of authority that you as parents can teach them. Psalm 19:8. The law of the Lord is perfect. God said so. He's perfect. He is right. He is holy. He is sinless. It converts the soul. It transforms our thinking and our testimony. The statutes of the Lord are sure. Sure means they don't change. I'd like to finish today, and we'll pick up with the next verses next time, but the prophet Hosea, if you're not familiar with him, we mentioned him last Sunday. I hope you had a chance to look him up this week. He's the first of the minor prophets after Daniel in the very last chapter. The very last verse, we'll end with this today. Hosea says the following in chapter 14, verse 9. Who is wise? Remember in Ephesians chapter 5, do not be unwise, but understand and know the will of the Lord. Who is wise? Let him understand these things. You see where Paul is drawing from this text? He says, do not be unwise, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Hosea says, who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Remember, our walk is supposed to be careful. It's supposed to be prudent. We're supposed to walk carefully in this world. Let him know, because the ways of the Lord are right. Not only the ways of the Lord are right, but the righteous, they walk in them. But the transgressors stumble in them. May God bless His word. We'll pick up with verse 2 next Sunday, God willing. Amen.